Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
All right, so my main point this morning is this: be happy and hopeful, patient in the process, and keep on praying. Be happy and hopeful, patient in the process, and keep on praying. And what's interesting, it's almost like the answer to success in living these injunctions, these orders, these commands is within itself. And here's what I mean. Look at verse 9 back in our text. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9. How do I run from, avoid evil, and cling, hang on to the good? How do I do that? Well, we see in verse 9, kind of the umbrella really over the whole thing, by keeping it real. By keeping what real? Your love. Your love for God and your love for others. You see, when we have this understanding, like when we have an authentic love for God, knowing the difference between good and evil, knowing what we're supposed to let go and knowing what we're supposed to cling to or hold on to, that which is good, right, and godly, will become more simple and will reveal itself. It becomes more apparent. Look at verse 10. How do I grow in honoring others? It's not always a natural thing. By learning brotherly affection. Start by being kind and growing, not just, I gotta love them, because sometimes that happens in church. Amen. Can we be honest? Like, we know we're supposed to love that person, but I don't really like them. Anyone? Should we have a time of confession? But what Paul is saying by saying show one another brotherly affection is not just love, but learn to like and show affection towards. Be kind to. And we see that. So once we focus on that, honor becomes a natural source. But then something, it works, this one verse tends to work both ways. How do I grow in actually liking the people that I'm called to love? Honor them. Honor them. We'll get to Jesus, don't worry. But yes, honor them. Verse 11. How can I stop being lazy in my zeal for life? How can I grow in my fervor that comes from my very soul? Start serving the Lord. Just start serving. Take a simple step, no matter how small, into the service of the King, and watch and witness your zeal and fervor return. You see how in these commands, it seems like they kind of work intertwining together to be able, like, well, I don't know how to abhor evil and cling to what is good. Man, let your love be genuine. In our verse today, verse 12, how can I be happy and hopeful with all the stuff that's going on in this world? All you got to do is watch the news and you lose your hope and your happiness. Amen. Just stop watching the news. I guess that's one answer. How am I supposed to be patient in the process? Like the morning I had this morning where I'm trying to get here on time and knowing I have things to do and helping take care of my dad this morning and like people getting in my like traffic and all these different things kind of like stacking up. How am I called to be patient? Keep on praying. That's how. You see how these work together? Look at our verse again, verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. I love this quote from Spurgeon. Joy and patience are curative essences, but they must be dropped into a glass full of supplication. And then they will be wonderfully efficient. Where does our joy and our hope come from? When we lack joy, when we lack happiness, keep on praying. Keep on praying. This is the way. What way? The Jesus way. This is how we're called to live. The Jesus way is not just about faith in the gospel. The Jesus way, hear me, is a way of life. Let me say that again. Jesus not only saves us by living and dying and rising, removing our sin, declaring righteousness over our soul, thereby allowing the third member of the Trinity, God Himself, via the Holy Spirit, to dwell in our hearts and minds by faith. He lives here. That wasn't just so you could live a humdrum, normal life. That was so you could live the way that Jesus has designed you to live. See, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He's not just speaking to a way to heaven. He's speaking not only of heaven, but also a way to live your life. And Paul, as we learned in the beginning, gives a concise way to focus in on, to work towards living this way, the way of Jesus. Jesus died so you may live. He is risen to grant you power through the Spirit with resurrection life. It's the life Jesus died for us to have. Maybe we should start living it. What do you guys think? So in summary and review of verse 9, may we be genuine and authentic in our love for God and others. May we evade evil and grasp good. May we love others with kindness and honor. May we be ambitious, eager, and enthusiastic and serve the Lord. And today, may we be happy and hopeful, patient in the process, and keep on praying. Now look at that list. This is not just an intellectual review, like a math assignment that we're reviewing so we can understand the next one. These are principles. These are orders. See, Paul isn't just speaking on his own authority. Paul, we know, is speaking through the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul, the very inspired word of God. And he's giving us a concise way to live. Now, look at this list. What do you need to work on? What do you need to work towards? Where is work needed to repent of? What course corrections need to take place? See, my hope going through the book of Romans is not just simply for us to have a better knowledge of the grandeur of the gospel, but the grandeur of the gospel is the motivation to live a changed and transformed life. And if you ask the question, what does that changed and transformed life look like? We see it right here. Exemplifying, as was said, Jesus. That Jesus had a genuine love for God and others. He, in the most perfect way, was able to evade evil, sinless, and grasp the good. He loved the unlovable and honored those that did not deserve honor. Jesus was ambitious, eager, and enthusiastic. Jesus came and served the Father. Jesus exemplified happiness and hopefulness. He understood patience in the process. And we know for sure that he kept on praying. Multiple times, Christ would, he was known for, like the disciples would wake up. Where's Jesus? What's the answer? He's praying. He's seeking the Father. Wouldn't that be cool that that's what we're known for? Point one, be happy and hopeful. Our text says, rejoice in hope. Now, rejoice in the Greek says this, to enjoy a state of happiness and well-being, which is where I get the idea of being happy. Like, be happy. See, happiness is a choice. We can choose joy even in the worst situations. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:10. Paul says this, as sorrowful, yet always what? Always rejoicing. See, we think sorrowful is the opposite of happiness. Therefore, they can't exist in the same soul at the same time in the same place. But we see right here in the text that we can be sad about things. We can be grieving things and yet still choose joy. We can still rejoice. We can still have happiness. But it begs the question, how? Because we, hear me, as sons and daughters of the King, are never without hope. They're tied together. Therefore, we can be happy and hopeful. Look at hope in the Greek. To look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. Now, both these, happiness and hopefulness, are huge marks of the Christian life. By mark, I mean a characteristic or known for these things. Well, at least they ought to be. But it's weird to say it. Paul is ordering us to be happy. Hey, be happy. I don't know if that's his tone, but I thought it was kind of ironic that Paul is saying, hey, be happy. Rejoice. See, and this isn't the only place he says it. He doesn't just say it in Romans. Look at what it says at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You're going to see a lot of parallel to this text with ours. Rejoice. It should be the next. Did I miss that one? Okay, I'll just say it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus for you. Let me read that again. And he's commanding. It's like, well, rejoice. Okay. How often? Rejoice always. But it's like, how do I do that? Look at what his answer is. It's the same as our text. This is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, if you want to jot it down. Rejoice always. But how do I do that? Pray without ceasing. Same word for prayer as in our text. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But I don't understand the will of God. And we get so wrapped up in this idea of like, does God want me to do this or do that or say this or say that? And we're just like, oh, and have you ever heard this? I missed God's will for my life. And I've seen people live in that guilt and that shame and that just hopelessness. The devil's a liar. Come on, somebody. And that's the whole idea, is Paul's like, hey, what's the will of God in your life? I know. Rejoice. How often? Always. How do I do that? Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Again, I say,
rejoice.
He's got to say it twice because he doesn't think y'all are listening. You see, we can be happy and hopeful. Why? What is our hope, our future stemmed in? Well, is it not? It's Jesus. Yes, the answer is Jesus. Guys are having a good time. I like it. Look at what it says in Luke 10:20 up on the screen. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Which would be pretty cool. Can we pause there and think that would be awesome? Right? Just rebuke a demon and it flees. That's there. But look what it says. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So I ask the question, what can take away our hope? If our hope is in the fact that our names that we are written in heaven, if nothing can take away our that, then nothing can take away our hope. Therefore, we can always have joy. We can always be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say,
rejoice.
We see, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice
and be glad or happy in it. What's so interesting about this text is oftentimes it's just like, generally speaking, and it's not wrong to say this because his mercies are new every morning, right? Like his mercies are new every day. And so we can rejoice in the mercies of God. But this text explicitly is speaking of our salvation. Look what it says right above it in this text, in verse, starting in verse 21. I thank you that you have answered me for becoming my salvation. It's weird, I took that right out of the text. I'm like, did they mess that up? Anyway, listen to this. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That sound familiar? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You see, the stone that the builders rejected speaks of, prophetically, of Jesus being the chief cornerstone, but being rejected by his own, going to the cross. And then it says, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. What day? The day of salvation. That's the day God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. See, we can be happy and hopeful because our names are written in the book of life. And we believe in assurance of salvation. You see, oftentimes I think we get this idea. Now, we can agree to disagree on whether somebody can just completely reject God. We can kind of go, well, you know, there's some arguments here, some arguments here. But for the most part, unless you have completely rejected God, if you are a believer, David, right? If you believe in Jesus, that he died and rose again, where are you going? Going to heaven. And we're called to remember that constantly. Oftentimes, David will call me, like, Bobby, am I going to heaven? You know what I say? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. What do you say, David? Do you believe in Jesus? That he rose again on third day? So what does that mean? Come on, somebody. Come on. And all the voices that can come in and say, no, you're not. You're not worthy. You can't. You're not going to be there. All those voices that come in, we need to take the truth of Scripture and go, those voices have no authority in my life. My name's written in the book of life. Therefore, I can always have hope. Therefore, I can always be happy. Amen. Come on. And that's why Paul can say, be happy. Which sounds so weird, but yet it's true. Because we have hope and nothing can take away our hope. But we're also called not to just be happy and hopeful, but patient in the process. And you'll see a lot of these things, the happiness, the hopefulness, and being patient in the process. Now, what do I mean by patient in the process? Here's what I mean.
Not taking back your
own will. Yeah, not taking back your own will. Is that we are constantly in this world going to have trouble. Jesus promised us. In this world, you will have trouble. Let's see that on a coffee cup or a t-shirt. It's not the most inspiring or encouraging one, right? Like, in this world, you will have trouble. It's a promise we can cling to. Hold on to that promise, right? So how can we be patient in the process? Well, because you have come to salvation and believe in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He is now working providentially all these things, according to Romans 8:28, for your good. And therefore, hear me on this, if Christ-like character is more important than comfort, if Christ-like character is more important, God bless you, than comfort, then we can be happy in trials. James 1:2 up on the screen, it says it this way. There's not, wow, did I mess up? This slide's not saved. I'm just going to read it. Counter it all joy, or consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Listen, so trials have joy. Why? Because that trial will bring about a testing of your faith that produces steadfastness or perseverance. And let perseverance or steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, as in whole and complete, lacking in nothing. See, if our Christ-like character and our perseverance is more important than the comfort and lack of pain, then all of a sudden, if that's the priority, then we can have joy. We can be happy. It says this in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. So let me say it again. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. What? Why would we rejoice in our sufferings? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That we can be happy and hopeful and patient in the process. Patient in the process. And I think, yeah. Well, I
just don't want people to think that they can't be sad, even though they can still be joyous.
Right. Yeah, and the same verse that I talked about, sad, joy. But I would, well, to rejoice is to enjoy a state of happiness. That's the Greek word. And so that's where I got that. So that, there is, but we could talk after.
Joy is more than that.
Sure, but we could talk afterwards. The definition of rejoice is a state of happiness and well-being. Fair? And so if you want to use the word joy, that's fine. But it's the word rejoice means to enjoy a state of happiness. And so that's where that comes from. Now, to be fair, Scott, and for all of us, it doesn't mean a haphazard. And this is where sometimes people make the distinction between happy and joy, is that joy is that decision and happiness is an emotional response. But biblically speaking, there is a joy or a happiness that is not just emotional, but also a decision. Amen? Does that help bring some clarity? So what we have is that we can be happy and hopeful, patient in the process. Well, I'll just keep going. And keep on praying. And keep on praying. Look at Martin Lloyd-Jones. Do I have that? Is there no? They didn't save. That's awesome. And I'm just going to keep being happy because it's patient in the process. Listen to this quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers. Tribulation, hope, and prayer always go together. In the New Testament, tribulation, hope, and prayer always go together in the New Testament. And it is a very good way of testing ourselves to ask whether they always go together in our experience. Romans 8 says this, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so it's speaking of that patient process. That remember that when we went through this text in Romans 8, you guys remember this? Ugh. Who makes those sounds? Come on, somebody. Because we groan, not just inwardly, but outwardly as we get older. And we're in these bodies. Someday, I'll be able to stand up without groaning, to which my wife will say, amen. Amen. And so it's speaking of this process. In this world, we're going to have trouble, right? We're going to have problems. But we have the hope of the redemption of our bodies. Listen to what it says. For this, in this hope, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. To be patient in the process. And it goes on to say this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with for us with groanings too deep for words. See, in that one text, we see the same things. Patient in the process, hope in our eternal future. Pray. And not only that, we're not alone in our prayers. It says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He says, for we do not know what we to pray for as we ought. That's a good scripture for us. I continually find myself, because of this text, just going, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit and lead this time of prayer? I'm not really sure how to pray. But nevertheless, we keep on praying. Now, this is going to be a lot, especially since we don't have, again, I apologize, we don't have the slides, but this is a quote from Precept Austin. They go through the Greek word pray. So to pray in our text is prosekemai, if you say it the Hebrew way, it's prosekemai, you got to. Now, it's from two Greek words. Pros means towards, facing, or towards or facing towards. So it's a direction where the idea of pros. And then from echamai, originally to speak out, utter aloud, express a wish, then to pray or to vow. Now, in the New Testament, it's always used of prayer addressed to God, to him as the object of faith and the one who will answer one's prayer. And means to speak consciously with or without vocalization, so praying inwardly or praying outwardly, and means to God with a definite aim. Prosechamai encompasses all the aspects of prayer. Listen to this. Submission. There's nothing I hold on to. Man. So in prayer, this is a common, bow our knees in prayer. Because why? Because we're submitting. So one, submission, confession. Lord, forgive me for. Petition, God, help me with. Supplication, Lord, would you help them with. Supplication concerns one's own needs, and then intercession, concerns with the needs of others. That we do praise and thanksgiving, and Vine says that prosekemai carries with it a notion of worship. Very simply, prayer is speaking to God. But what we see in this word where it says, pray perseveringly, or pray consistently, depending on the version you're reading, pray always, pray consistently, pray faithfully. But I think you're getting the point. Pray. We have access by grace that we can be happy and hopeful. And if we keep on praying, that we can be joyful and hopeful. We can rejoice in hope. That God would give us patience in the process as we continue in our prayers. And I think this is a very clear application for us to re-up on this idea of devotions. I think it's easy, and I'll just be the first to confess, it's easy to basically spend a whole day without really seeking Jesus until you come to a meal where you feel obligated to give the Lord thanks. Is this too honest? Should I back it up a little bit? Because it's like, for some reason, we can get so busy in our day, our phones just suck the soul right out of us, and we don't create space to just go, man, I'm just going to spend some time with the Father. You see, now let's bring it back to Jesus. Because Jesus came and lived and died for us as according to Romans chapter 5, that we have been justified by faith. Now we have peace with God the Father. And so he did all of that to reconcile and restore the relationship that we have with God. Let's talk to him. Let's spend time in prayer. And like I was on the way here in a rush, Lord, give me grace. Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me joy. That it was like I don't know if you guys remember, there's an old video game, something fighter, whatever it was, but in it, it was like body blow. You guys remember that? There's this video game. Now, life can feel that way. I felt like that this morning. It was just like body blow. I'm just like, ugh. And I'm thinking, how can I be happy? How can I come to this sermon with joy and rejoicing? Oh, yeah, I have hope. And nothing can take away that hope because my name is written in the book of life. And man, I'm going to seek Jesus to return my soul back to hope. And so may we be happy, hopeful, patient in the process, and keep on praying. There's a slide we had in the very beginning, Trina, that said, may we be genuine and authentic. I want to relook at that. This is chapter 12, 9, basically all of them. May we adjust our lives to these ethical injunctions, these precise orders by Paul via the Holy Spirit. May we be genuine and authentic in our love for God and others. Evade evil and grasp good. Love others with kindness and honor. Be ambitious, eager, and enthusiastic. Serve the Lord. And may we be happy and hopeful, patient in the process, and keep on praying. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.